The Last Things by David A. Hone, IVP 2019, 322 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance by Mark Baker. Table of Contents. Introduction. 1. Life in the Middle. 2. Praying for the Perfection of Life in the Middle. 3. The Name Above All Names. 4. God's Kingdom All in All. 5. The Father's Will for One and All. 6. Good Lord, Preserve Us. 7. Good Lord, Forgive Us. 8. Good Lord, Deliver Us. Summary. Most systematic treatments on eschatology contain a list of topics and events linked to the end of time. In contrast, I argue that eschatology should not just be relegated to the events that happen at the culmination of all of history. Rather, eschatology begins with Jesus. Therefore, this book will cover eschatology through the lens of the Lord's Prayer. One of the chief aims of this book is to construct an explicitly Trinitarian description of eschatology that is at once systematic, generated from the theological interpretation of Scripture, and yet sensitive to essential elements of Christian practice. Chapter 1. Life in the Middle. Throughout this book, I will refer to our place in the history of redemption as the middle. My proposal is that life in the middle consists of hearing God's promises and responding with a hope that is embodied in our prayers. The promised Messiah has broken into our world and has given the promise of a perfected world that is yet to come. Our need in the Christian life in the middle, is both to remember and to expect. We remember what Christ has done in bringing the kingdom of God to earth, and we expect the perfection of that kingdom in the life to come. This perfecting work is a Trinitarian work. The Spirit perfects, that is, gives ontological direction to everything in creation towards the Father, through the Son. Therefore, our chief response to this good news is prayer. Prayer represents the embodiment of the eschatological tension of life in the middle. Chapter 2. Praying for the Perfection of Life in the Middle. Because prayer has as eschatological tenor, we will look to the Lord's Prayer as the ideal organizing principle for our study of eschatology. This method is not without historical precedent. The Lord's Prayer has been used as an organizing principle for theology since as early as Tertullian in the 3rd century. The Lord's Prayer, therefore, shows us that the fatherhood of God is a key pillar in eschatology. Jesus instructs us to pray that his Father's kingdom would come to earth as it is in heaven. This is the what of our eschatology. The Father's kingdom will be perfected on earth when all opposition is defeated. See 1 Corinthians 15:24-28. This is the how of eschatology. We know from Revelation 21:1-4 that when God's kingdom fully comes to earth, the new world will be of the same kind of creation as the original. It will be a purification of God's original creation. The life to come will be redeemed and restored, but it will also be physical and earthy. To miss this point is to miss the true glory of the new creation, and it will subsequently lead to a devaluing of the experience of life in the middle. Chapter 3. The Name Above All Names. What does it mean to hallow God's name? How can we make God's name holy? To answer this question, we must first understand what God's name is. In the Old Testament, God gave his covenant name as a promise of his continued relationship with his people. Further, the temple was a house for God's presence, and Solomon makes clear that it is also a place where God's name would dwell. 1 Kings 8:20, 29, and 43. Nevertheless, God's actions for his name are always towards the earth, to establish a place for his name on the earth, and, consequently, for his name to be treated as holy on the earth. The revelation of the name of God comes to fruition in the person of Jesus. The temple curtain was torn at the crucifixion, symbolizing that God's name was present at Golgotha, not Zion. Paul's words in Philippians 2:9-11 summarize the significance of this shift. God's name is made holy when our knees bow and our tongues confess that Jesus is Lord. We know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and this anticipated future is mean to shape our passions during life in the middle. Chapter 4. God's Kingdom All in All. How do we live in the middle? We know that one day God will make all things new, but we also feel the tension that they are not yet fully new. The answer comes through the assurance found first in God's covenant with David and ultimately in Jesus. In 2 Samuel 7, God promised David that his progeny would always sit on his throne. God gave this promise knowing full well that they would disobey him. As Walter Brueggemann has said, in one sweeping assurance, the conditional if of the Mosaic Torah is overridden, and David is made a vehicle and carrier of Yahweh's unqualified grace in Israel. It is ultimately Jesus Christ, the Son of David, who is the principal means by which God's name is hallowed on the earth. When God created humankind, he gave Adam the commission to take dominion over the earth. But the story of the Bible shows that no one but Jesus can truly realize this commission to its fullest extent. Chapter 5. The Father's Will for One and All. As theologian Karl Barth has noted, the idea of election is strongly related to eschatology. God has a will, and he will bring about his will fully and finally in the last days. So what does it mean that believers are supposed to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Again, we find ourselves in the tension of living in the middle. We know that God commissioned his people to be fruitful and multiply. Yet the Bible also tells us that God closes wombs, and he opens wombs when people pray to him. God has given his creation a telos, a purpose, and he uses the prayers of his people to bring about those purposes. From this perspective, time and history are an integral aspect of God's will for the earth, as the record of God's lordly dealings with his creatures in order to bring his places to perfection in Messiah Jesus. God does not need creation to be God, but creation, the realm of time and space, is the realm where God's redemption is realized and creation's telos is fulfilled. Chapter 6. Good Lord, preserve us. Why does Jesus include a prayer for daily bread in his model prayer? Is there room to think about daily provisions in the cosmic scope of God's redemption? Simply put, yes. Jesus wants his followers to pray for something as mundane as daily food. Moreover, from an eschatological point of view, the Lord is exhorting us to look to him to preserve us throughout life in the middle and into the new creation. Contrary to Moltmann, eschatology cannot be merely future-oriented because it reduces Christ to a resurrection principle about how believers can enter eternity. Christ inaugurated his end-time kingdom through his death and resurrection, and it is Christ himself who serves as continuity between this age and the one to come. The hope of the Christian is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not the abstract principle of resurrection. Sometimes people think of the bodiless existence of the soul in the afterlife, but the New Testament talks much more about an embodied reality of believers living in the new heavens and the new earth. This is the hope of preservation, that God will preserve his people even through death and into embodied eternity. Chapter 7. Good Lord, forgive us. The fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer is the petition of forgiveness. It is in light of the coming judgment of the risen and ascended Lord Jesus that makes this petition so significant. The New Testament makes clear that there is everlasting mercy for those who serve Jesus and everlasting wrath for those who reject Christ's salvation. Here, Barth was insufficiently Christological in his attempt to explain the will of God the Father in, through, and for his royal eternal Son. There are times when Barth at least leans towards a sense of universalism, but a robustly Christological eschatology maintains the fact that God gives everlasting mercy only to those who cry out for forgiveness during their life in the middle. Chapter 8. Good Lord, deliver us. The sixth petition in the Lord's Prayer is a petition for deliverance from evil. Romans 8 gives us one of the best ways to understand this prayer. Paul states that, as Christians, we will groan as we experience the tension of life in the middle. Christians should be a groaning people. But how will God deliver us from the evil we experience? The best way to answer this question is through the lens of the millennium. There are three basic theories of the millennium. Premillennialists place the coming of Jesus at the beginning of the millennium, whereas postmillennialists place it afterwards. Amillennialists understand the millennium to be a symbolic period of time between the two comings of Jesus. Premillennialism can often lean towards escapism, missing key opportunities for real transformation during life in the middle. Postmillennialists can lean towards overconfidence in the advance of the kingdom during life in the middle. The most accurate assessment of the biblical data points towards an amillennial position. It grounds our understanding of life in the middle on the victory of the ascended Christ and the promise that even if we perish, we shall nevertheless be vindicated and hence delivered. Mark Baker, PhD, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, serves as director of the Risen Institute, located in Houston, Texas. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.